Today's shir is Masechta Yuma Daf Pei Dalet. We will begin on Daf Pei Gimel Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara Mishnah Nashcha Chalav Shaita. The Mishnah discussed an individual who was bitten by a wild dog. It says the Gemara Tan Rabbanan Chamisha Dvarim. There were five things, says the Gemara Nemar B'Kalav Shaita, that said in identifying what is considered a Kalav Shaita. Pi Pesuach. Its mouth is always open. Rirai Naitif, its saliva is coming out of its mouth. Vaznav Seruchais, it has very large ears drooping down. Zavai Munach Ayirekasav, its tail is wagging between its legs. Mahalach Bitside Drachim, and it walks on the side of the road. Vyeshairim, and some say, Af Neveach Vein Koyla Nishma, when it barks, you can't hear it bark. So sort of the Sefer, the Chafetz Chaim, in his Sefer, Shmiras HaLoshen, says that these five simonim that the Gemara just gave represent someone who speaks Lashon Hara. Somebody who speaks Lashon Hara, psiv per pesuach, his mouth is always open to speak whatever it wants to say, it doesn't control its mouth. Rear noitif, that it's always angry, and somebody who gets angry where they're not supposed to get angry, you see that there's saliva coming out of his mouth. Another next thing is that the Gemara said regarding such a person is Oznav Seruchais, he's always listening out what's going on. This person who speaks Lashon Hara is always trying to hear what's going on so he can report it further. Mahal Chatzide Rosh Hashram, he walks on this Zanavai Munach HaYirekasav. He also is all over the place trying to hear what's going on. And he walks on the side of the Rosh Hashrabim. Also, that his goal in doing so is to try to be sneaky and hear what's going on all over so that he could report it back and say Lashon Hara. Ask the Gemara Mayhava, what causes that a dog should have these symptoms? Says the Gemara Ravama, Noshim Kishvanius Mesachis Bay. Women who do Kishif work with these kind of dogs, and the causes that these dogs should get these symptoms. Shmuel Amar, Ruach Ra Sharallah. There's a Ruach Ra on these animals, and that Ruach Ra causes that they should act that way. Ask the Gemara, Mai Benayu, what's the Nafkamina Lalocha between what Rav and Shmuel said? Says the Gemara, Ikabenayu, the Nafkamina is Lemikta Vilei Bedava Nizra. If we want to kill this dog, what is the best way to kill it? Can we actually touch the dog, or should we avoid touching it? According to Rav, that there's no Ruach Ra on the dog, so there's nothing that prevents us from touching the dog, because one doesn't have to be concerned about him coming in contact with the Ruach Ra. But according to Shmuel, that the concern is because of a Ruach Ra, so of course we have to do everything we can to stay away from the Ruach Ra. And therefore, even if we want to kill this dog, which is dangerous, we should do it without actually coming in contact with the dog. Tani Kavase, the Shmuel. So says the Gemara that we learned in a braisa like what Shmuel taught us. Shoganosa, when we kill the Kelev Shaita, Ein Hoganosa Ela B'Dava Nizrak, we should kill it by throwing something at it. Says the Gemara, because the Chayif Bey, if somebody comes in contact with this dog, Mistaken is in Sakana, the Nachasloi, if he was bitten by this kind of a dog, Mayas, he will pass away. Ask the Gemara, the Chaype, we just said that if somebody comes in contact with such a dog, Mistaken, he's in Sakana, so Maita Kante, ask the Gemara, what should he do to cure himself? Says the Gemara, Nishlach Mane, he should take off his clothing, venerate, and run away. Says the Gemara of Hunabere de Vishua, Chofbe Chad Minai Bishukup, he came in contact with such a dog in the street. Shalchinu Lemane Virat, he took off his clothing and he ran away. And he said, after he did this, Kiyamti ba'atzmi, I fulfilled with myself, ha'chokh mat'chayi ba'leh. The Pasuk says in Kehelis that somebody who's a chokhm, meaning that somebody like an Al Gemara, that he knew that the right thing to do is get those clothes off him. Here too, an Al Gemara, because he learned what he's supposed to do, that saved him from Baruch Hashem being in danger. Says the one at the Nochasle, we said if somebody got bitten by such a dog, Maita Kante, that is there anything that he could do to save himself? Amar Bayim, Nesa Mashcha de Apadichra, he should bring the skin of Apadichra. Some explain that it's a monkey, some explain that it's a different type of an animal. V'nichtele, Anor Planyim, apparently, he should write in it, Anor Planyim, apparently, Amashcha de Apadichra Kisimaloch, on the leather of this animal do I write? Kani Kanti Kalurius. Ramle Kani Kandi Kalurius. Ka Ka Shem Tzvokois. Omein Omein Sela. Vinishachina Lemoni. He should take off his clothing. Vilakavina Be Kavri Ate Sayachishat. And he should leave them buried for 12 months. Ulinifkinu Viniklina Beturim. And after 12 months, they should take him out and burn them in a furnace. Vinivdirinu Lukutme Aprosius Drachim. And spread out the ash on the fork in the road. V'hanach trei siyarte sharte, and for these 12 months after he was bitten, kishos samayim, whenever he drinks water, leilishte he ela begufsa denochsha, he should only drink out of a copper vessel. I saw that the Rishonim explained it doesn't have to be copper. It should only be something that doesn't look or remind him of this dog, because the Ramban explains if he uses something that will remind him of that dog, it could cause him to get sick again. He says whenever somebody is sick, part of the refuah is not to remember the disease, to get the disease out of your mind, and anything that could remind you of the disease should be avoided. So Dilma, because says they were drinking in a copper vessel, maybe he'll see the shade that jumped out at him when he got bitten from that dog, and it could cause him to be in danger again. Anything that should avoid him from remembering what happened. We furthermore learned in the Mishnah, Vayd Amar Amasi ben Charish, that if somebody has a throat ailment, he could take medicine on Shabbos. Says Marav, Yochanan Chosh b'Avdina. Rav Yochanan had a disease on Shabbos that started with the teeth and the gums and ends up in the intestines. Ozel Gabei Dehi Mitrunasa. So he went to visit this noble woman who apparently had the refuah, had the remedy to this disease. Avla Milsa, so she did some sort of, did the procedure, she gave him the medicine, B'chamshu Ma'al Shabsa, on Friday and on Erev Shabbos, and then Rabbi Yochanan asked him, Shabbos Mai, what's going to be on Shabbos? And the way Rashi, in Masechta Avodah Zarah, explains the Gemara, what he meant to say was that on Shabbos, it's difficult for me to come to you for treatments because I'm busy with my Talmidim. Amalei, so the woman told the Lord Tzrichas, you need not come. Imitz Tarich Namai, so he asked her, what happens if I feel I need treatment on Shabbos? Amalei, Ishtabeli the Lord Megalus, so she said to him, swear that you won't tell anybody what is the remedy, because she was concerned that if the remedy will become publicized, then people won't need to come to her anymore for treatments. Ishtabas, so the way he made the shvur was, L'kol Yisrael le'magilna, I won't reveal this to anyone. Nofek v'darshu v'pirka, and then after she told him what it was, he went and publicized what the remedy is. Asked the Gemara, how could he have done so? Didn't he make a shvur? So how could he violate a shvur? Answers the Gemara, let's look at the wording of a shvur. What he said was, L'lakad Yisrael l'magilna. He said, I won't tell God. L'alma Yisrael magilna. Other Jews I will tell.
And therefore, it wasn't technically a violation of a shvua. But ask the Gemara, even if it wasn't technically a violation of the shvua, va'ikach chil Hashem, why is this not considered a chil Hashem that he swore he won't tell anybody and he told? So the Gemara, the maglala mikara, he told her up front that this is what I'm going to do. So obviously in learning this Gemara, we have to try to understand the Gemara. If the Chavos Yoh says that if somebody makes a shvua in a way that it's a haroma, that's a trick, the halacha is the shvua is still a shvua. So if that's the case, how in our Gemara was the how could he have violated the shvua? So he says in our Gemara it's different because the shvua that he made, the reason he violated the shvua was because there was a tzayr harabim. He did it for the welfare of the public. And since his goal was for the welfare of the public, it's different. The Sefer Nachal Eshkol proves from our Gemara that even though notifying the public was for a very important purpose to let them know how to have a remedy to this disease, the consideration of Chil Hashem is a greater consideration. And the only reason, as the Gemara explains, he was allowed to do it was because, as the Gemara explains, it really was no Chil Hashem because he had told her up front that I'm going to tell you, I'm going to make everybody aware what's going on. But if not for that, even though what he meant to do was for such a positive purpose, the concern of Chil Hashem is greater. So the question that we have to discuss is that here we see there's a concern of Chil Hashem. And the Ramah paskins in the Darkei Moshe that when there's a public welfare involved, there may not be Chil Hashem. Otherwise, he has to be concerned for Chil Hashem. There's an interesting discussion in the Yerushalmi, what happened with this woman at the end. One version of the Yerushalmi says that because of this, and she lost her source of income, she committed suicide. Another version in the Yerushalmi is that she actually didn't commit suicide, but she saw how incredible Klal Yisrael is. Rabbi Yochanan could have taken the easy way out and just not said anything. No, but he was so concerned for the welfare of other Jews that he got himself involved in this complicated situation just to help other Jews. When she saw that that's the way the Jews behave, one towards the other, that they're ready to do whatever they need to do to be able to help another Jew, she was Megayer, that according to that version of the Yerushalmi. So this opens up the Sefer Chashukei Chemed has here a very interesting discussion. And that is, if someone has a disease, there was a man who had a disease, and he's about to get engaged, and it's a serious terminal disease. The question, and certainly if she knew that the chassan, that this boy had this disease, she would never want to get married to him. Does the doctor have an obligation to tell her? Is the doctor not allowed to tell her, because we know every doctor takes the Hippocratic Oath that he will not reveal any confidential matters? So the question is, what is the halacha? On one hand, since he takes this oath, so the halacha is, we know that when somebody takes a shvua, lo yachal dvarav, k'chol ha-yotz m'piv yasi, is obligated to keep his oath. Moreover, that the doctor received payment for the treatment that he offered, and now, by having done what the patient doesn't want him to do, it could be considered that the payment that he got was a geneva. He wasn't entitled to that payment. And another consideration is if patients will become aware that this is what doctors do, that doctors reveal confidential information, people will avoid going to doctors, and they will be sick, and they won't have the refuah they need to have because the doctors are acting that way. So the Chelkas Yaakov, Shalos Tshuvos Chelkas Yaakov, Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Lamed Vav, discusses the Shaila. He discusses there's a cancer patient who is going to get married,
And is the doctor obligated to tell the kala? Because according to the doctor's evaluation, this person doesn't have more than a year or two to live. So he quotes the Rambam in Perek Aleph Halchus Ritzayach Halacha Yigimel, who says, "Arayis chaver tovi b'yam." If you see somebody else drowning, or chay raba alav, or you see somebody being attacked by a wild animal, or shishama akum mechashvim la'ra tam lepach, he hears that this person is in danger. V'loy gila oizen chaveroi. And he doesn't let this person, this potential victim, know what's happening. He's over aloisam al damriacha. He's over a very serious aveira of loisam al damriacha. So he says, in this case as well, that the kala will end up with a husband who may not be here much longer, who will be need these constant treatments. By him not telling her, there is a concern of loisam al damriacha. On the other hand, the halacha is, what about the shvua that the doctor took that he won't reveal confidential information? So he quotes the Rama in Yoridei Simen Reish Lamates Siv Zayin, who says, "Anishba shloil galas l'chaveroi dovish yatzlerim and hefsid," who somebody makes a shvua that he won't tell somebody something that could prevent them from having harm. Have a nishba levatal a mitzvah. It's considered that he's making a shvua against a mitzvah. Veinachal, and it's not considered a valid shvua. So here too, that the shvua that the doctor made maybe is not considered a valid shvua because he made a shvua against what the oath that a doctor takes is an oath against what the Torah says. But the Paiskim say that here it's not the regular case. There, the person deliberately made a shvua against what the Torah says he should make a shvua. Here, a doctor made a shvua in a general way. He made a shvua before he even knew this patient. And since at that point he made the shvua is chal. And in fact, Rabbi Yoshev uses that to explain why the Gemara considered an our Gemara the shvua that Rabbi Yochanan made to this woman to be potentially a valid shvua. Says Rabbi Yoshev, when he made the shvua, there was no sick person here. And at that point, he was allowed to make the shvua. So it could be that the shvua here, that by this doctor, is chal, even though he made the shvua because he made the shvua before he knew this information. And therefore it's not clear, the Chalkas Yaakov says, if he's obligated to keep the shvua or not. Moreover, he says the concern that it's considered as if he's stealing from the patient didn't pay him on the condition that he'll reveal his secrets. He says that's not true. The patient pays him for the service, and the service for taking care of him, he offered. And moreover, he says, the concern that patients won't want to come to a doctor if they know that they reveal confidential information, the halacha is that that isn't true either. A patient who needs a doctor needs the doctor, and he's going to the doctor whether the doctor may have revealed confidential information or not. So the only real shaila that's left is the shvua. But we know a shvua, you could be mata neder, you could be mata the shvua. So he says, so we still have this question. So it seems based on this question, the Chalkas Yaakov isn't quite clear if he just be mata the shvua and reveal to the patient or not. But then the Chashuk Yechemet comes and discusses another shaila. He says that there was a rav, a dayan and a bezdin, that came to the Chazon Ish with a question. It says there was a couple that divorced in front of this rav, and the reason they got divorced was because it was determined medically that the husband was unable to have children. And the question that he asked the Chazon Ish is that now somebody else came to him and says that a shidduch was offered with this man and my daughter. Does the dayan have the right, the obligation, an isser, to reveal this information to the person who's asking him this question?
Because again, everything that happens in a Besdin, of course, is under the confidentiality. And what should he do? So the Chazon Ish told him what he should say. He has no right to reveal confidential information. What he's allowed to say, says the Chazon Ish, is that if somebody came to me with a shidduch for my daughter with this man, I would decline. That's all he should say and not get into any details. So the story goes that that's what this Rav did, this Rosh Besdin did. He told the father, the person who asked him about this man, I wouldn't take him for a son-in-law. And but then he says, but the father of the girl said, I think I may do the shidduch, and I ask you for a bracha that they should have a happy marriage with children. And the Rav gave such a bracha, even though in the back of his mind he knew that there's not going to be any children. But what happened was there was an incredible happy ending to the story. At the end, the couple got married and they did have children. And the Chazon Ish suggested that they had children because of the bracha of the Rav, particularly when the Rav did what the halacha required of him to do. And that probably is the situation with the doctor as well. The doctor should not reveal any confidential information, but even though he shouldn't reveal any confidential information, he can't say to the scholar who's interested in this chassan, you really should look into this shidduch. You really should look in as this is the boy you want to marry. So he really hasn't revealed anything that he's not supposed to reveal, but he's helped that person, hopefully, from making a mistake. Says the Gemara. So we started with this tzaftina, and we started that the nochris is the one that knew how to heal it, and that Rabbi Yochanan, she told Rabbi Yochanan what she does, and Rabbi Yochanan revealed it, and asked the Gemara, "May of the light? Indeed, what was the refuah that she did?" Amar of Achabereid of Ami, May Sor, she took water, which they soaked barley with shemen zayis umelech with olive oil and salt. Rav Yemir Amar Sar Gufei, they took the barley, shemen zayis umelech, and olive oil and salt. Rav Asher Amar Meshcha Degat for the Aza, she took oil that came out of the wing of a bird. Amar Baya Ana Avdel Kulei, I tried all of these different combinations, V'loyat Soy, and it didn't help me. Ad Amalei Hotaya, until the Arab merchant told me, Isaac Ashisu de Zayis Gloimola Tilsa, bring the pits of an olive that haven't ripened to a third, the kalinu benura, and put them into roast them over fire, amara chadata, over a new shovel, vidbik bekochi dore, and put them on around your teeth. Of the hachi, and he said he reports that I did vitzoi and I got healed. Memai havi, asking Mar what causes this disease. Says the mekam mechamim mechamim dechiti, from eating very warm wheat bread, Mishur Kars Dahasana. They used to have a dish where they used to fry small fish with flour and oil, and if they're left overnight, that's what causes this disease. The Gemara Masech the Shabbos, however, as the Mefarshim says, that eating warm bread on Matzah Shabbos is a refuah. And here we're saying that you should avoid it. So I saw two terutzim. One terutz is that on Matzah Shabbos it's a refuah, and other times one should not eat very warm bread. Another pshat that I saw is that it depends how warm. If it's warm, it's fine. If it's very warm, that's when it's a problem. Says the Gemara, Umay Simoni, how does somebody know that he's chas v'shalom suffering from this disease? Says the Gemara, Kadrami midi bekochi, if anything touches his gums, vasa dama mibei dori, and then blood comes out between the teeth, that is a proof that he's suffering from this disease. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan ki chosh b'tzavdina, Rabbi Yochanan, when he suffered from this disease, over hochi b'shapsi, he did this refuah on Shabbos, v'itzi, and he got well. Asked the Gemara, Rav Yochanan Avichi Aver Hachi, how was Rav Yochanan allowed to do this on Shabbos
as we learned extensively in Masechet Shabbos, one is not allowed to do a refuah. It's also to take medicine at Shabbos because of Shchika Samimonim. Amr Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Shani Saftina. Saftina is a different type of disease. Hoilu mask b'peh v'goymeh b'mnei mayim. It starts in the mouth and ends in the intestines, and therefore it's considered, the person who suffers from this disease is considered a choyle sheyesh b'sakana, and therefore we may give him this medicine on Shabbos. Amr Rav Chiya b'abel Rav Yochanan, who is the man, the omer that holds that Tzavdina is such a serious disease, says the Gemara, it's following the opinion of Ramasi Mecharish that we learned in our Mishnah, the Omar, HaChoshish Bepev, Matin Loi Sam B'Shabbos. If somebody has this type of disease, he could take medicine on Shabbos. Omar Lei, Shani Omer, that the Chachamim who disagree with Ramasi Mecharish regarding the various diseases that were mentioned in the Mishnah and hold that they're not a disease, here they hold they agree with Ramasi Mecharish. And the other diseases, they don't agree. This disease, they agree, is, as Ramasi Bechar said, and this is the refuah. Says the Gemara, let's bring a raya that the Chachamim agree that taking a medicine for Tzavdina is permitted on Shabbos. The Braisa says, somebody who's suffering from a disease that causes his face to turn yellow. He's allowed to eat donkey meat. Somebody who was bitten by a wild dog. We could serve him from the liver of that dog. And somebody has this toothache. He's allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. So by these things we disagree. Ask them what they mean to say by elu. That means they agree in certain circumstances and they disagree in other circumstances. What is the case? Lemute mai, my love, lemute sam. That even though they don't agree with the person who's suffering from yirokoin or somebody who was bitten by the wild dog, they agree to this. Says the Gemara, no. The Chacham hold in all situations, they disagree with Ramasi Becharish. What they meant here was, Lemekizen dam l'sunuchni. Sunuchni is some sort of a throat ailment, and the Chacham and Benazi says, Ramasi Becharish says that you're allowed to bloodlet if somebody's suffering from that disease, and that the Chacham agreed to. Says the Gemara Hachinam Mistabra, and that makes sense to say. The Tanya Shloshet Varm Amr Mishmo Barab Yossi, Shoshoma, Meshum Ramasya Mencharish. Mekizan Dam Lusurkni, Bishabis, Mishanosh Kal Shaita, Machila and Samachatza Kavchlai, Vachosha Bepe Matin Loy Sam Bishabis, Vachamim Beelu Emishim Refua. Beelu, what do they mean Beelu Muti Mai, Mai Lavatati Bestroisa? The second two cases, they disagree with Masya Mencharish, who says that that's a refua that may be administered on Shabbos. They disagree. Lemuti Dereshi, the case of the Surkni, they agree. Says the Gemara, Loi, that isn't necessarily the way to understand the opinion of the Chachamim. Atata Dereshu Kameisa, on the two first rules about that causes dam and Nosha Chalif, Lemuti Beseifa, but at Saftina, they may agree. So we still don't know what is the opinion of the Chachamim regarding somebody who Rachman Tzlan is suffering from Tzaftina. Toshma, the Tani Rabba Shmu, if a pregnant woman, as we discussed previously, smelled food on Yom Kippur, we give it to eat until she gets calmed down, until her craving goes away. In this halacha, we agree with Masi Becharish, but not in other situations. Ask the Gemara Bezua Hai, what is the case that the Rabbanan, the Chachamim agree with Masa Mecharish? Ilema Ubro, if we're going to say that they agree in the case of the pregnant woman, says the Gemara, is that a question? Pshita, It's obvious that they agree. Is there anybody that holds that when we have this pregnant woman with a craving on Yom Kippur, we should do anything else? Elav, it's talking about Shema. And the Gemara is teaching us that Chachamim agree with Ramasim and Chorish that somebody who unfortunately is suffering from Tzavdina may be given this remedy on Shabbos. Shema minor, that everybody agrees to that halacha. If we learn our Mishnah properly, we'll see that that's the halacha based on what we learned in our Mishnah as well. Because we learned in our Mishnah, if somebody has a mouth ailment, we could give him medicine in Shabbos. And the Rabbanon don't disagree in our Mishnah. Isa, the Rabbanan, Pliga Rabbanan Lay, if the Rabbanan disagree regarding Tzavdina as well, so as just the Gemara, then we should have had all of the cases the Mishnah mentioned together, the Mishnah Noshka Kal Shaita and the Tzavdina, and then say the Rabbanan disagree with all of them. Shema Minah, from here we see that the Rabbanan indeed disagree with the Halacha Mishnah Noshka Kal Shaita, that Rav Masri Mechara says we give the patient to eat from the liver of the dog. The Chum disagree. But regarding Tzavdina, the halacha is that they agree. So there's a question, what do we learn from the halacha of Tzavdina that somebody who has this type of disease will allow to heal him on Shabbos? So Rav Moshe Zatzal, in the Shalos HaTshuvos Igros Moshe, Oyer Chaim Chel Gimel Simen Tzadik Aleph, says that any type of disease that even though right now the disease is not in the status of Sakonis Nefoshis, but can come to Sakonis Nefoshis, we're allowed to take medicine on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur. So he says that if you have a person who is suffering, Rachman Atzlan, from a chronic disease, but Baruch Hashem, he's fine. He just has to take whatever medicine to make sure that the disease doesn't spread or doesn't get worse. On Yom Kippur, he's allowed to take the medicine even with a drop of water if he can't swallow the medicine in any other way. On Shabbos, he's allowed to take the medicine, even though on Shabbos we don't take medicine. And the same halacha is regarding Pesach, that one who suffers from this type of situation, the halacha is that he should take whatever medicine. Of course, if he could take it in a pill form, not in a chewable tablet or in a liquid, that's what he should do. But if he has a chronic disease, he should take it because it could come. The Gemara over here is teaching us that anything that could come to spread, to be a sakhoi l'chshesh by sakana, we have to already start treating in that type of fashion. Again, Rav Vosner, in the Shas HaTshuvos Chelek Shevet Levi Chel Ches Simen Ayin, says we also have to know, we have to be able to then have a doctor tell us what is and isn't considered such a situation. He says, the Gemara says that Tzavdina, this tooth ailment, is that type of a disease. We have to know, we can't determine that every disease is a disease of that type unless we have a doctor tell us what type of disease this is and what could come from this disease. Because as we learned in the Mishnah, Sofik Nefashis Doiches HaShabbos. Ask the Gemara, V'lom Lisu, why did the Tana at the end of the Mishnah have to tell us that called Sofik Nefashis Doiches HaShabbos? We already learned that at the beginning of the Mishnah because we learned that you're allowed to take the medicine because on Shabbos because of Sofik Nefashis. Why needed it be to be repeated? Answers the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Merav, what we're coming to learn here is, the Lois Sofik Shabbos Zubuvad, not only are you allowed to take medicine if it's a question of Sakonis Nefashis for this Shabbos, Ela Filo Sofik B'Shabbos Acheres. The Loch is that you're allowed to take medicine for next Shabbos. Heichi Dami, explains the Gemara, what does Dami? Kigoyin Da Omdu L'Tam Neyoymi. The doctor said that he has the patient has to take this medicine, has to take this treatment for eight days. The first day that he begins taking the treatment to Shabbos, and by doing that, and since he has to take this medicine for 8 days, it'll mean that he'll have to take medicine on two Shabbosos.
So maritime one could perhaps suggest li aktiv ad l'urta, let him wait until tonight to take the medicine. Keich deloy nechalei trei shabso, that he shouldn't have to be mechalal two shabbosos. He'll only have to be mechalal one Shabbos if he doesn't begin the medicine on a Shabbos. Kamash malon, that there's no need to do so. And the halach is he could take the medicine even on the, he's allowed to take the medicine even on the first Shabbos, even though it means that he's going to take medicine in both Shabbosos. That's the way Rashi explains the Gemara. And many Mefarshim are bothered with Rashi's pshat, because they say, if the person, as we just said, is a Chayel Shesh B'Sakona, that we're learning that a Chayel Shesh B'Sakona may take medicine on Shabbos. So of course he's allowed to take the medicine on Shabbos. What's the question that we have to think about next week Shabbos, about pushing off to taking off the medicine till next week? So because of that, the Rosh Hashanah saw learns Peshat that the situation here is that there is indeed a very good possibility that if he'll wait till he takes the medicine till Motzei Shabbos and only therefore have to take the medicine on one Shabbos, nothing terrible will happen. Because it's only a couple of hours that he's pushing off taking the medicine. Still, says the Gemara, if he's in a category of a chayla sheyesh by sakana, we do what we need to do, even though it means that he's going to end up being mechal two Shabbosos. Which opens up another interesting discussion in the Paiskim. Let's say, Rechmol etzlon lo'yaleinu v'lo'yaleichem, there's a patient who needs oxygen. And he has oxygen that's given to him. There's an oxygen tank and he has an aide who administers the oxygen. And changing an oxygen tank can involve Chilul Shabbos. And right now, the oxygen tank, there's still some oxygen in it. And it's Shabbos afternoon. But whoever is taking care of this tank knows that the oxygen in the tank is going to run out before Shabbos is over. Does he have to wait till the last moment, even though it's going to valve Chil Shabbos, but right now I don't have to change the oxygen, I have no right to change it? Well, since I know that the oxygen tank is going to empty out on Shabbos, I already could change it now, even though right now there's still oxygen in the tank. And the question really many Paiskim want to suggest is connected to a subject that we've mentioned previously, that the halach on Shabbos is that we need to do what we do for a patient that's a chayla sheyesh b'sakana, anything that we need to do, is it hutra, is it completely mutter, or is it only dechuya? The Chavetz Chaim and the Bi'ah Halacha and Simen Shin Mem Dalid discusses a situation where there's a Jew in the army. And the Jew was told that you're going to have to do some sort of a activity on Shabbos, which is Chil Shabbos. And now it's Bein HaShemoshes. Is it better that he should do it now, Friday afternoon, Bein HaShemoshes, which of course is not as serious as Shabbos? Or maybe he shouldn't do it now. You're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos on Bein HaShemoshes. And therefore, hope and pray that maybe you won't have to do it. And if you won't have to do it, you will have avoided being Mechal Shabbos. The Chavetz Chaim doesn't give a clear answer to this question. The Netziv, however, says that there's no if we know that you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos, if you know you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos, once you know you have to be Mechal Shabbos, there's no reason to push it off to the last minute. And he says even more than that. He says that let's say you have a situation where Friday is Yontif and Shabbos is, and then you have Shabbos, and you have to do something for the patient. He suggests maybe you should do it on Friday, even though Friday it isn't absolutely necessary. But since we know you're going to have to do it, and being Mechal Yontif is less of an issue than being Mechal Shabbos, so be Mechal Yontif than rather be Mechal Shabbos. Ramosha and says, disagrees. Ramosha says that we don't have a right to be Mechal Shabbos earlier than we need to be Mechal Shabbos. And we should always wait until the last moment. And maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make a nes and we won't have to be Mechal Shabbos. Rabbi Yoshev differentiates between earlier or later in the same day. the question that we began with, where you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos today, so should you wait for the last moment, or could you already be Mechal Shabbos now? There, Rabbi Yashiv says you could already be Mechal Shabbos now, versus doing something today that isn't necessarily to be done today, the case of Friday, Yontif, and Shabbos. If it doesn't need to be done today on Friday, even though Yontif, as we explained, is less of an Isser than Shabbos, if it's not needed for today, I have no right to do it today because I'm thinking about tomorrow. Today is today and tomorrow is tomorrow. Says the Gemara Tanya Nami Hochi, we actually learned in a Braisa, Mechamen Chamen L'Choyel B'Shabbos. We are allowed to heat up water on Shabbos for a chayla, bein lashkoisoi, if we have to give him the water to drink, or bein lavroisoi. So the way the Meiri explains that we need to wash him with the warm water. And Meiri explains that even though washing is obviously not as serious of a need as drinking, anything that the chayla needs, we do. The light, not only are we allowed to do this because that's what this person needs to stay alive the Shabbos, El Shabbos Acheres. Even if what we're doing is on behalf of next week, we're allowed to do it, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in the coming Shir, that Chalel of Shabbos Achas, we're allowed to be Mechal this Shabbos, Kedei Sheyishma Shabbos Harbe, that it should remain alive. And we don't say to this patient, whatever needs to be done is done, and we don't wait. El Mecham Lemiyad, we immediately warm up the hot water and don't wait. Memnei Shesofik Mefashas Toches Shabbos. Says the Gemara, V'loy Sofik B'Shabbos Zu, not only when there's a Sofik for this Shabbos, Alafil Sofik B'Shabbos Cheres, he's going to survive the Shabbos no matter what, we still could be Mechal Shabbos. Then I some dvar malolu, continues the Gemara, lo yadei nachrim v'lo yadei kutim, not through nachrim, elei dei gedol Yisrael, we should use gedol Yisrael. So there's a big machloikis, what does the Gemara mean here? So the Rosh explains that even though you have a nachri and a kuti available to do, we don't take the nachri and kuti. And the reason is because we're concerned that if we look here, it's no problem to take the nachri or the cotton. But if that's what is going to become our habit, we're worried that the next time where there is a nachri, where is no nachri or kuti or cotton available, then we're also going to wait for them. And since we're going to wait for them, there it could be a question of life and death. Other Rishonim explain that the concern is that we don't want to use somebody to treat the patient who won't do it as best as possible. And therefore, you should do whatever has to be done. You should do whatever has to be done in using the El Gedol Yisrael. And as I said, there's a machloikus Rishonim. What does that mean? The Rambam says, Ein oisim ella al gedei gedoyli Yisrael v'chachmeim. What does that mean? Some explain that the Rambam means that we should use the best that's available. Others explain that what we're trying to teach here is that if people are going to see that we're looking for other doctors and not just choosing the best, people are going to think that when it comes to Chil Shabbos, we should try to avoid Chil Shabbos as best as possible. So the halacha is no. We want everybody to know when it's a question of sakana, we do what has to be done. And therefore, there's a very big machlokes. If there is a non-Jewish doctor available who could take care of the patient just as well as a Jewish doctor, what should we do? Some Rishonim say that we should always use the Gedol Yisrael, the Jew, for what the repercussions of what this could be. Others say that no, if we have a perfect opportunity to use somebody who isn't Jewish to take care of the patient and therefore avoid Chil Shabbos, that's what we should do. And as we've said previously, it really boils down to the question, how do we look at taking care of a patient on Shabbos? Is it Hutra or Dechuya? If it's Hutra, then we should use the Jew and don't even think about anything else. If it's Dechuya, then if we could avoid doing a Chil Shabbos, that's what we should do. The Rishalmi, when he teaches this din, says, Hanishal Maguna, the person, the Rav, that has asked this question, it's terrible. V'ashoyel ha-shefech damim. The Pashup Shad is that the Karban Ad explains, if a Rav is asked this question, it's obvious that the Rav has not taught his community how important it is to take care of patients that are chayel shesh by sukkah on Shabbos. Because if he would have taught them as he's obligated to teach them, they would never have had such a shayla. V'ashoyel, and the person who asked the question is a shayfech damim. Because now is not the time, that, as the Mishnah Berurah explains, to go ask questions. But rather, now is the time to do whatever is required to take care of this patient and not lose any precious moment in taking care of this patient. There's a very interesting discussion in the Shalos Tshuvos Igros Moshe about Hatzolah members who are going to take a patient to the hospital on Shabbos. And of course, there are many shayles that come up with driving an ambulance and parking the ambulance. It's interesting. In the earlier version of the earlier tshuva, the Igros Moshe, Arachaim Chelik Dalet Simen Pei, Ramosha's opinion was that if possible, the ambulance should be driven by a non-Jewish driver, but a Jewish Hatzolah member should, of course, join with the doctor. In the ambulance, but he should join in the ambulance, but not drive it. Have the non-Jew drive it because of all the various shaylas that could come up when the Jew drives the ambulance. But then Rav Moshe in the tshuva in Aruch Chaim Chelik Hey Simon Chaf Hey says just the opposite. He says the Jew, and it's based on our Gemara. He says that the Jew should drive the ambulance. The non-Jew should come along. Because after the Jew drove the ambulance to the hospital, then he has no right to continue driving, coming home. And there, he should have the non-Jew drive the ambulance and take that solo member home. Says the Gemara further, we don't do this based on what women or kutim say. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is that if two said that we should be Mechal Shabbos, and three said that we don't have to be Mechal Shabbos, and now we have a woman or a kuti agreeing that we should be Mechal Shabbos, the halacha is that we're Mechal Shabbos because we have three against three, and the opinion of the kuti and the woman is included. Others disagree, because we learned in the previous year that as soon as two experts say that we should be Mechal Shabbos, we're Mechal Shabbos. So it can't mean that we need the kuti or the woman to even out the score. Therefore, they're saying that the situation here is that when we have one doctor saying we should not be Mechal Shabbos, and one doctor says, and then now we need a doctor that's a kuti or a nokri that says we should be Mechal Shabbos, their opinion is considered a full-fledged opinion. Tana Barim Fakim B'Kulach Nefesh B'Shabbos, we do whatever is required on Shabbos. V'Azor is, I raise a mishabach. And whoever does it as quick as possible is praiseworthy. There's no shaylus. Hakeitzad. Raw tinik shenafel yam. A child fell into the ocean. Parish mitzudim aleihu. You could put out a net to save him. Zoris arrays mishabach. And whoever does this quicker is better. Ain't tzarch litul shus bezdin. Afgad the kotzayit kavri. Even though as he's spreading out the net, he's catching fish on Shabbos. Still, since that isn't his primary intention, it's fine. Similarly, raw tinik shenafel abar, a child fell into a pit. Oike chulya, you could take out some earth or maleu to get the child out of the pit. Vazaris arayzim mishuba fein tzarach litul shus mibezdin. Avgadim sakin darga. By the way, you're taking out the pit, you're creating a step to be able to walk into the pit. Raw shenel dals mifnei tinik. If you saw a door was closed in front of a child, shavroi, you may break down the door, mitziyoi, v'azaris areza meshubach, v'ein tzarech litul shush mibezdin, v'avgad demchavel mitzvah b'shifi, even though you're getting the pieces of wood. Mechabin u'mafsikin, you're allowed to extinguish a fire, or bring wood, vessels full of water, mibnei adaleika, B'Shabbos, to prevent the fire from spreading in Shabbos. V'arizoros areizim zem b'shubach, v'ein tzarech litul shush mibezdin, v'avagad to kamach mekuchi, even though he gets coals
that will be usable for him by doing so. So ask the Gemara, why did we need to have all of these examples? V'tzricha. D'yashminin, if we only had the case, the child who fell into the ocean, if you start trying to figure out a way to avoid doing it the wrong way, the child may drown. Avol bor, the koyosef, it's not as imminent a danger when he's in the bor. Ema loy, he should have to go ask a shayla before he does anything. Tzricha. V'yashmin bor, mishun dekam mavis. Every moment the child is in the pit, mavis, he's frightened. Nala dalas, but when he's locked behind a closed door, eshev deyos b'haygisa, mishavish leben guza, you could talk to him and play with him, sitting on the other side of the door, until you get direction from the rav what to do. Tzricha. Mechabnim afsikin lamali. The chiddush is afil l'chatz acheris. Even though the fire you're trying to work with is in this chatzar, and the only reason we're trying to bring these kalim is out of concern that it's going to spread to the next house, but it may not spread. Still, the halacha is you could do whatever you have to do because of that concern that it may. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, continues the Gemara. When it comes to Puruch Nefesh, we don't follow the Roiv. Ask the Gemara, what is the case? In the Ikatisha Yisrael, there are 9 Jews, and there's 1 non-Jew, and the building collapsed. Rubi Yisrael Ninu. Then of course, most of the people, they are Yisrael. Inam Mipalgal Pagal, let's say it's 50-50. So we've been learning, Sofak Nefashos Lakal. Ella de Ikatisha Kutim, Yisrael Echad. If there are 9 Kutim and 1 Yisrael, and we'll add it be Michal Shabbos. Ask them, obviously, Hanami Pshita, because we have a rule, Davalei Kavua, that when they're in their place, Kol Kavua is Kamachsadam, it's considered like 50-50. Says the Gemara, like Tzricha, the partial Charetz Acheretz. Somebody, one of the people, it was moved to the next Chatzah. The Madatim called the Parsh Meruba Parsh. And if most of the people under that rubble are Kutim, we should not be allowed to be Michal HaShabbos. We no longer have a Kavur. Kamash Malon, Loi Holcha Bekuch Nefesh Acharoiv. Ask the Gemara, is that the case? V'anir Eini, V'amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Tisha Kutim Yisrael Echad Ba'isa Chatzar, Mefachim. B'chatzah Acheres, Ein Mefachim. If they were moved, and one person was moved, we don't. Loi Kasha. Says the Gemara, Parsha Kulam, if the entire group that was in the first Chatzar was moved to the second Chatzar, so therefore there's certainly a Yisrael amongst now in the second Chatzar, and for Yisrael we do whatever we need to do on Shabbos, so we'll have to be Michal Shabbos. How the Parsha Mektsasai, that if most of the people under the rubble were Kutim, and only a small amount of people were moved to the next Chatzar, so we have no Chazakah that there's a Yisrael in this Chatzar, still, then the halacha is that ein mefachin.